Come on, church. Can we keep giving God all the glory in this place? Let's keep giving him thanks. Tonight we've heard some powerful testimonies of really of what only God can do. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the power of the blood. And tonight I'm excited, and I believe that God wants to continue to do that in each and every one of our lives today. Regardless of the walk that we're on, regardless of where we've come from, we're all at his feet. And he died for each and every one of us. And today, I believe that he wants to not just do something small, but I truly believe he wants to transform us in a big way. We want to take a second just to welcome all of you who are joining us here on 51st and Broadway. And we also want to take a second just to welcome all of those that are watching around the world today. Today, we welcome Nigeria and Kenya. We welcome New Zealand, Malaysia. We welcome the Philippines and Singapore. We welcome Thailand and South Korea. We welcome India, UK, and Scotland. We welcome Poland and Netherlands. We also welcome Italy, Finland, and Ireland. They're with us today. We also welcome Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, Barbados, and Panama, Trinidad and Tobago, Bahamas, and Guatemala. We also welcome Venezuela, Peru, and Argentina. We also welcome Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. But most importantly, we welcome the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight, I want to share just a quick thought with you before we grab a seat. It's really out of the book of Acts, just a few verses about a man named Simon. And really, he had an opportunity, like many stories that you heard tonight, to have a life that was transformed. But his journey took a little bit of a turn, and tonight I want to unpack that a little bit for each and every one of us. But the Bible reads in Acts, it says in verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, whom when they come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your money will perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this, your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps that throughout your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity.' Then Simon answered, 'Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you've spoken may come upon me.' So when they had testified and they preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages and Samaritans." Tonight, I want to share a thought with you titled, "It Can't Be Bought or Sold." It can't be bought or sold. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now for today. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Father, the way we walked in today is not the same way we want to walk out. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in our hearts today. Have your way in our minds. Have your way in our spirits, God. Today, we want to lay it all down at your feet and lift up the name of Jesus, the only name that matters. So we give you all honor and all glory, and we give this all unto you in the mighty and in the precious name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. You may grab a seat. Tonight you heard of a man named Simon in the book of Acts. And Simon really had a fair degree of local fame at this time. The Bible describes him as a man that was a sorcerer, that he had power and he was operating out of this power. But it's important to know that this man who had this kind of local fame, and as they believed that he was this man of great power, and some even believed that he was God of power, it's important to know that the Bible describes sorcery as really an occult of magical practices. And it's important to know that whatever power Simon had was not from Satan, but it was from God. It was from Satan and not for God. But what's amazing is that two disciples head to Samaria and they boldly start to proclaim the gospel. And those who had previously been astounded by Simon and his sorcery are now really starting to see revival break out in Samaria. Those that would go to Simon, those that would see him work in this dark power, are all of a sudden introduced to the gospel by a man named Philip. And what's amazing about this is that revival begins to break out. The pouring of the Holy Spirit begins to take place. Miracles begin to happen. And now Simon is intrigued. Simon finds himself in this moment here, really starting to believe what Philip is preaching. He's starting to understand a little bit of what's happening. He's recognizing that the power in which he operated in is not the power of God, but it was the power of something else. And the Bible begins to describe that Simon really starts to lean in with his belief. And he starts to believe what the gospel has to say, so much so that the Bible describes that he starts to even follow Philip. He's intrigued enough to know, well, how is it that you're doing this? And the disciples begin to share the gospel with him. And he started to slowly change his life little by little. And while Simon was moved by Philip's preaching and he was moved by the miracles, even to the point of where he declares his own belief, the Bible describes he even gets water baptized. But there was still something missing in Simon. He knew the word. He did the next step. But there was still a portion inside of him that was missing. And it was the Holy Spirit. You see, he believed, he was water baptized, but he missed being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was amazing about this is that the disciples who were there, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to show them that to live in Christ fully is to allow the Holy Spirit to fully transform somebody. That the work of the Holy Spirit isn't just for us to just come here and say, okay, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to sing this song and I'm going to do all the religious things. But the disciples were very, very, very strong with the way that they preached the gospel. And they showed them by living it out that a life transformed is one that allows the work of the Holy Spirit to fully transform them. And this is what he begins to really show Simon here. But Simon was a little bit like some of us today. In other words, Simon had head knowledge, but he didn't allow the Holy Spirit to transform his heart. And some of us sit in a place like this where we attend church services and we operate a little bit in the same idea. It's okay that the book that we read gives us something, some great wisdom. It gives us some life lessons. It brings us on the right track, but allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to transform us is a different kind of story. And I've seen this time and time again. I've seen it even in youth ministry. I've seen it with our young adults that they love the scriptures and they're going, hey, this is great, great wisdom. This is great life things. But when we get to the work of the Holy Spirit, there's a resistance. And Simon had this here. Simon had a little bit of resistance because he was okay with head knowledge, but he wasn't okay with allowing the Holy Spirit to truly transform his heart. It's no good to know the word of God and not let it transform you. Hear me today. It is no good to know the word of God and not allow it to transform you. Some of us read these words and go, oh, okay. But when we read them, it's to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts so that we can produce that kind of fruit. But we have a group of believers that aren't producing good fruit. And I wonder why. Is it because God's word isn't good, or is it because we're not allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to transform us? Simon was in this kind of thing. There's a quote by Catherine Booth, who was the co-founder of the Salvation Army, that says it like this: Christ must reign in the heart, for when he has the heart, he has the whole man. Christ must reign in the heart, for when he has the heart, he has the whole man. If you're taking notes tonight, I want you to just write this down. It's time to trade in the stone heart. It's time to trade in the stone heart. Hear me, it's time to trade in the stone heart. It wasn't until Peter and John showed up that the Bible describes that when they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, where the fullness of the gospel was introduced. And this is vital because Peter and John are showing up and they're teaching them that a heart transformed by God is one that is fully filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27, it says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you would do them. The Bible says it very clearly. I will give you a new heart and put a new what? Spirit within you. To be transformed by the gospel is to allow the Holy Spirit to transform your heart. To live in the fullness of what God has for our lives is not to just pick what we like, but it's to allow him to do it entirely. You see, this promise can't be accomplished without the work of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel's promise cannot be accomplished without the work of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 and 17 says it like this. It says, I will pray that the Father, he would give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. God gave us another helper. Not so that we would just keep the work of the Holy Spirit outside of our hearts, but he gave it so that he can be a helper, to truly transform, to help us with our mind, to help us with our heart, to help us in our spirit, to help us with all that we face in this life, to help us with the fight against diseases, to help us with the journey against our souls, to help us lead our children back home, to help us in our marriage, to help us in everything. He left the Holy Spirit for you. But it's very clear the world cannot receive it because it neither sees him or knows him. To know God is to know the work of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 also says it like this. But you shall receive the power of the Holy, you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem. And in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Not only does he put a new heart in you, not only does he put a new spirit in you, but he allows the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And our job as believers is to walk according to that. In fullness. That's what he desires for us. God desires to transform us entirely, not just partially. We have so many partial Christians in this world. People partially believing, partially holy, picking and choosing what they desire, rather than allowing God to fully bring us to holiness, fully bring us to repentance, fully bring us to the fullness of what he desires for our lives. God desires to transform us entirely, not just partially. He doesn't just choose to partially heal you. The testimonies you heard tonight wasn't God's half work. The miracles that you're believing for isn't God's half work. It's fullness. God desires to transform us that way. He desires to heal. He desires to restore. He desires to make us entirely new. But many of us today live comfortably with just head knowledge. We're okay with just reading these scriptures for what they are. We're okay with doing the religious practice. But we miss the person of Jesus. We miss it. He doesn't desire us to miss it. The Great Commission is out of the fullness of us knowing him. Go and make disciples. Go and cast out demons. Go and heal the sick. It's out of the fullness of what he calls. Simon thought in the same kind of vein. Head knowledge is merely enough. And the more we want, we can buy it. He thought that it could be bought for. He thought the power and the work of the Holy Spirit could literally be bought for. He's offering gold. He's saying, hey, I'll give you some gold and silver if you just show me how this is done. And I love Peter's response. It's so appropriate. He just rebukes him. He's like, hold on, slow down. This can't be bought for. And many of us think that the blessings of God can't be bought for. Many of us believe that it can be acquired by our own work and our own merit. There is nothing that we can do that would give us anything for the kingdom of heaven. There is nothing. There is no work or merit. Hear me today. There is nothing that you can work for that's going to give you salvation. It is just receiving it and believing it. But we exhaust ourselves thinking that, well, if I do this right and I wake up at 5 a.m. and I pray this prayer and I do this and I do this and I do this, I'm going to get everything that God desires for my life. And the entire time we miss the person of Jesus. We do it for him, but not with him. We do it for him and not in him. We can't outwork anyone to be better than the next. The truth is that this is a free gift that we must receive wholeheartedly by faith. And receiving it, you allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. There's a quote by D.L. Moody that I love. D.L. Moody is an American evangelist from the 1800s. And he says this, "The world does not need a new definition of the gospel, but it needs a new demonstration of the power of the gospel in a changed life." So many people are interested in redefining what this is rather than just being in the fullness of what God has for us. We don't need a new version of this. We need new versions of us. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we demonstrate that to others. The world does not need a new definition of the gospel, but a new demonstration of the power of the gospel and changed lives. You heard tonight stories from Anastasia and even Wilbert's story of how he encountered Jesus and the Holy Spirit rescued him. Rescued him from prison and homelessness and addiction. And now God is using him to be a light in the same place that he once dealt his darkest times. How does somebody do something like that? What's the fullness of the Holy Spirit working in someone's heart? It's taking the heart of stone and it's allowing God to transform it for the heart of flesh. It's his desire for all of our lives. It's his desire for your life. It's his desire for my life. You heard this. And today I'm challenging you while you're sitting here in that seat or you're watching and you're joining us online from your living room. Today I'm challenging you that these words and scriptures aren't just words for head knowledge. They are not things that we just keep and not live out. The Bible says that the word of God is the living word. It is the only book where you can read, walk, live, and dwell with the author. It is the only book. And Simon was challenged at this. Peter and John rebuked him. He was challenged with this. He felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But his prayer begins to reveal the condition of his heart. As I begin to come to a close here, I want you to see this. Acts 8:24 says it like this. "Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." I want you to keep that. If you could keep that there. It says, "Simon answered and said to me, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." Instead of actually humbling his heart and realizing that what God is doing through the disciples can't be bought or purchased, he reveals the true condition of his heart and he says, "Hey, I know you just said what you said to me. Just pray for me that none of those things which you just said could potentially happen will happen over my life." And it's amazing that there's an opportunity for a man to fully transform his life and be used for the kingdom in a mighty way. And the first thing that he does, he says, hey, just pray that none of those things happen to me because I'm not there. I won't humble myself. And it sounds intense to think about that. People in scripture will look at this and go, oh man, what's wrong with Simon? He had all the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He had all the opportunity to be transformed. He had all the opportunity to have a great testimony, and he just rejected it. But yet when we walk through these doors sometimes, or we're spending time with God, and the work of the Holy Spirit's prompting us to a little bit of repentance or laying our life down and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to fully transform us, we're no different than Simon at times. For some, humbling a heart is a hard thing to do. In a day like today, it's one of the hardest things to do. Pride is everything. Because where pride is, there's strength. And nobody wants to ever look weak. But the gospel's opposite. When you lay your life down, you will find it. It's opposite. When you take the last seat, God will honor. It's the opposite. And when we get to the feet of Jesus, you and I have an opportunity. Will we humble our lives and acknowledge where we're wrong? Or will we be like Simon and saying, hey, you church person over there, can you just pray that no bad things happen for my sin? Can you pray that I don't get any of the consequences of the sin I'm enjoying right now? In youth ministry, we see that often. We'll see kids, they just trying to figure out life, young adults trying to figure out life, and they're engaged in all the things of this world. And whenever we start calling it out a little bit, they're just like, hey, can you pray for me? Can you pray that I don't get any consequences of this sin? No. I'm praying you repent wholeheartedly, right? Some of us want to escape the consequences of our sin when God's calling us to just wholeheartedly repent. The escape is in Him. The fullness of a great life is in Him. We can't escape it through our own merit. We can't escape it through our good works. We can't escape it by how well you dress. You can't escape it from anything. How much money you have. How charismatic you are, how private you are. You cannot escape it. The only way is to fully, fully lay down your heart. Humble yourself. Instead of humbling himself here, Simon, just ask Peter, hey, pray these things won't come. And what does this highlight? It shows that Simon felt true conviction of the Holy Spirit. But he wasn't yet willing to yield his life to it. He wanted to just keep blowing by and enjoying the things of which are of the world. Today, that might be you. You might have just come in here and you're going, man, I'm good with smoking. I'm good with having sex. I'm good with doing X, Y, and Z. I'm good with living my life the way that I have. I'm good living promiscuous. I'm good living in sin. I'm good with all of this. And the reality is that you're not. And we all have an opportunity with God to lay our life down, to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to transform us. Tonight, you heard stories of that time and time again. That it wasn't about a religious practice and it wasn't about anything, but it was only through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's all. And if you had the opportunity, why waste it? Truly. If you have the opportunity, you know you're in a space where the work of the Holy Spirit is moving, why waste it? Why? It sounds insane to think that that could be a possibility. But the truth is, where there's pride, it resists. And it stops us from being able to accomplish that. But when he died on that cross, he died for you. He died knowing that you would be struggling with that sin. He died knowing that it would be a fight against your life. He died knowing that all the things would begin to take place. And yet here he is today. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power that healed this demonic man. The same power that wants to heal you today. But how? How does one get there? Is it something fancy? Is it something crazy? No, it's just the humbling of a heart. It's for once just saying, don't let pride get in the way. Don't. Don't let the pride stop you from experiencing the fullness of God. Hear me. Don't let pride stop you. Because what God has for your life is so good. So good. Filled with miracles, filled with healings, filled with all the blessings that he has, filled with the strength to get through any war. It is filled with the fruits of the Spirit. There is still long suffering, but there's fruit still. He desires to live with you fully, not partially. And it breaks my heart. Walking around and seeing so many Christians partially living with God. That they feel the conviction, they feel the prompt of the Holy Spirit, but they blow right by it. The truth is, Peter couldn't humble Simon's heart for him. Simon had to do that. Truth is, I can't humble your heart for you. Ricardo can't humble your heart for you. Nobody can humble your heart for you except you. I don't know what kind of walk of life you're on today. You may be no different than the stories that you heard up here, growing up in church, running away, coming back. Maybe never stepping foot in a church, dealing with drugs and addiction and sin in life. I'm not sure what it is, but I do know that when he died for you. He wants to rescue you. He wants to heal you. He wants to save you. He wants to restore you. He wants to give you back all the years that the enemy has taken from you. He wants to give you all that he has. He wants to give you the kingdom of heaven. He wants to strengthen your family. He wants to restore some marriages. He wants to heal some cancer. He wants to restore all that he has for you. But it takes a willing heart to say, God, I'm willing to humble myself and lay it all down to pick up a life that you always had for me. It takes a willingness. It takes a heart to say, God, I thought that my way was good, but it's actually your way that I need. I was reminded in the back as the band comes out. I was reminded in the back. With a sober thought that tomorrow's not promised for anybody. So why wait? Why wait? Why wait? Reminds me of a story of one of the plagues of a frog. Moses goes and he's saying, what do you want all this to be done? It's all the frogs, just all over the place. Pharaoh goes, tomorrow. Let it all be done tomorrow. Pharaoh wanted to live another night with frogs. He wanted to live another night with the sin. He wanted to live another night in pride and frustration and anger. And he rather than allowing God to work another miracle, he decided, just let it be done tomorrow. So many of us walk in this place and we think the same thing. God, I'm not done with it yet. Tomorrow would be a new day. Tomorrow would be a greater day. But there is no tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promise. So what will you do today? Simon's story is unique because Simon had the opportunity to do it that moment. But you know what he chose? He chose to say, you know what? No, it's okay. It's okay. Just pray for me. And he goes on his own journey. The Bible never talks about him again. And it shows us that what God calls us to is a genuine faith. To allow in the work of the Holy Spirit to truly transform our hearts. That it can't be bought, it can't be sold, it can't be done by any merit or work, but it can only be done by the fullness of surrender. As we stand to our feet tonight. Simon wanted to be spared from the consequences of sin. But Simon didn't realize that it was only meant to be in the fullness of Christ, full surrender in Jesus. Peter, in that moment, identified Simon was rooted in bitterness and iniquity. He revealed to him really that his motive was selfish. You just want power. You don't want transformation. Something else hidden in it. But allowing the work of the Holy Spirit is to allow the work to fully transform your heart out of the genuineness of your faith. It's saying, God, I fully submit my life to you, and you can take control. Reminded in 1 Peter 7, it says, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Church, gold and silver does not work here. Works does not work here. Selfish motive does not work here. Doesn't work in the kingdom of heaven. It is the willingness of one's heart and the genuineness of your faith that actually allows the work of God to transform your heart. Why do we need it? Because we need more Christians demonstrating the true faith of Christ. Why do we need it? Because we pray for revival, but we don't play our part in it. Why do we need it? Because he's calling you to make a difference in your workspace. He's calling you to be more Christ-like because he wants to heal your legacy. He wants to heal your lineage. He wants to do so much. Why do we need it? Because most importantly, we're dead in our sin. And we're no good without it. Without him. Tonight. I believe God's calling you to trade in your heart of stone for a heart of flesh. To not be like Simon and choose to walk away. Tonight, I believe he wants to truly transform your own heart. If you're a believer in here, and maybe you've been walking this walk for long, but you've allowed your heart to grow stony. I believe he wants to transform you. If you don't believe and you walked in just to get something, I believe that he's calling you. Tonight, I believe that the work of the Holy Spirit wants to transform each and every one of us to the the fullness of what he has for our life. So with every head bowed and every eyes closed, that's you tonight. You're saying, Gio, I'm like Simon. Every time I'm presented with the opportunity of the Holy Spirit to do something in my life, I blow right by it. I'm good with the words and I'm good with the practice, but I'm not sure if I want to invite him in for the fullness. And you're saying, Gio, tonight, I want that. I don't want to be like Simon. I want to experience him fully. I want to share my testimonies the same way that these others have shared their testimonies. I want to be used for the kingdom of heaven. If that's you, could you just lift your hands today? All over. I'm going to ask you to do something bold. If that's you, could you just get out of your seats and come here to the front? If you lifted your hands, don't worry about the person on your left. Don't worry about the person on your right. That's you today. Get out of your seats. If you could just stretch your hands to heaven right now. That's you. Just get out of your seats. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit just to work right now. As our worship team's just playing. And just allow God to just do something in your heart. Not a touch of man, not a touch of anybody, but just the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're in your seats, could you also stretch your hands and just begin to pray? We need the Holy Spirit. So, Father, have your way right now. Come on, if that's you, all of you that made that decision today, could you repeat this prayer after me? Say, forgive me, God. Today I repent for blowing by the Holy Spirit. Today I choose to not be like Simon. Today I choose to live in the fullness of what you have for my life. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, fill me, heal me, and restore me a heart of flesh right now. Don't let it be just word knowledge, but let it be a life transformed. Now have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just let the work of the Holy Spirit begin to fill you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The voices.
I trust you, God.
I say,
for all of you who've made that decision tonight, I want you to know that every testimony is a tested heart that one day made the choice to trade in their own heart of stone and a life of bitterness to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? That means that the decision that you made today is now the story that you get to tell. It means the workplaces that he calls you to, the areas that you are with your friends and your family, it's now your story to tell. That you're a life that's transformed. He's gonna use you in a mighty way. He's gonna use you to make a difference for the kingdom of heaven. He's gonna use you. And today your story changed. But before we end, we never like to end a service without giving anybody the opportunity to allow their own story to be changed by God. The Bible says that he died on a cross for you. To raise you, to fill you, to love you. And Romans 10 says, when you confess with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, that's the genuineness of your faith, that you would be filled with God, with the Holy Spirit. Be a full life transformed. A life with him in eternity. And most importantly, a life with him on this earth. And tonight, if you haven't made that decision, or you have made that decision and you might have walked away from God, but you're ready. You're saying, I don't want to be like Simon. Today, I want to make that decision to give my life back to God, to be born again and live in the fullness of what he has. If that's you today, wherever you are, could you just lift your hands right now? Just wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What we're going to do as a church is we're going to repeat this prayer, and I want you to repeat it as loud and as boldly as you can. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, come on, church. If God did something in you, if you made that decision tonight, if you could, text decided to 5100, or you can also email decided to growth at tsc.nyc. We would love to help and really help you with the next step of the journey. But what we're going to do is we're going to go out with a song, if we could. If your life has been transformed, can you give God all the honor and all the glory?